let's return to the Travelin' On Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Travelin' On Radio Show. You're listening to Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick, and we're joined here by our dear friend, Michelle Blond from the State Department. Michelle, before we left for break, we were talking about the passport cards, and I think it's very important to note that the passport cards are not meant to really substitute the passport itself, and it certainly cannot be used for travel by air.
That's correct. If you are flying to Canada or Mexico, you need a passport. If you're driving, you need proof of citizenship. So that could be your passport. Even an expired passport is still proof of citizenship,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not a travel document anymore. Your birth certificate or eventually a passport card. All of those would suffice when you're crossing over. If you take a ferry, say, from Washington State up to Canada, you're going to need to have proof of citizenship as you travel across the border now.
Now, what about travel by sea to, say, some of the Caribbean islands?
Well, you would need to have proof of citizenship to come back in. It doesn't have to be a passport. However, you would want to take a look at our website, travel.state.gov, to know for sure whether the destination you're going to requires a passport.
Right, and I, just a friendly reminder to our listening audience that we do have a direct link to the State Department's travel page on our website, travelin-on.com, on our tools page. I think it's very important to visit that site often just to obtain, you know, updated information. Now, with regards to, you know, international travel overseas, assistance that you provide Americans overseas, explain a little bit about what the State Department offers to citizens who travel abroad.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Before you head out on a trip, we encourage travelers to check our website, travel.state.gov. We have there something called country-specific information on every country in the world that provides safety and security information that you would want to have before you head out. It may talk about, for example, unusual health conditions or crime and security issues, political disturbances, any kind of instability. You'll find that information, and we keep it up to date. You would want to check your insurance coverage to make sure that you're covered for medical care if you are in an accident or you fall ill while you're overseas. Usually, the insurance coverage that most of us have here at home doesn't apply overseas, and a travel policy is going to be needed. And you would also want to check to make sure your inoculations are up to date. There's another website, cdc.gov, that talks about what sorts of medical indications there are, including inoculations for mm-hmm. different destinations.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember that the pandemic flu threat is still out there. So people who are traveling, for example, to Asia might want to consider talking to their doctor about whether there are precautions they should take just in case they happen to be in an area working or traveling and a pandemic flu should break out in that region.
Well, one of the things I wanted to state is with regards to the CDC, we also have a link to our website on the tools page. I mean, we have a pretty comprehensive list of sites that are very helpful to travelers.
And one of the most important things for our listeners to understand, particularly with respect to international travel, is just doing planning ahead of time. And one of the great things about the State Department website is that it is filled with lots of information. And particularly for those who are looking to do things on the international front, one of the great things about that travel site is that it's got specific international travel information. In fact, the State Department has an office that deals with American citizens and provides services during crisis management, and so they can assist the public with everything, just as Michelle stated, from country-specific information and all of those alerts. Michelle, do we have you back?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Well, hey, sometimes this is live radio and those things happen.
That's right.
But I was just letting our audience know about some of the great resources for international travel and just alluding to the importance of planning, and there are a lot of great tools with respect to things that the State Department has. And one of the things that I mentioned to the audience was the Office of American Citizens Services and Crisis Management, ACS. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how that helps to assist U.S. citizens traveling abroad?
Yeah, that is just a great team of people. I'm proud to be a member of that group. And they are available to assist Americans who get into trouble while they're traveling overseas or who have some kind of a problem arise. We work in tandem with our colleagues who are serving at embassies and consulates overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of things that we might help with are people who have a medical emergency while they're traveling or who have an accident or, frankly, who get arrested and charged with a crime or who are victims of crime. There are all sorts of things that might happen to you while you're traveling, and we're there to help.
And in fact, you shared a story a while ago that really isn't funny, but it's comical from, you know, in retrospect.
A little unusual, that's for sure.
Yeah, about the young lady whose foot was stepped on by an elephant.
Right.
I'm not quite sure where she was and why she got so close to an elephant.
But a good idea, was it? We had a man not long ago who was gored by an elephant.
Oh, dear.
I guess we should put up some sort of a warning that people should stay a little bit farther away from the elephants than they have been. Anyway, you know, the fact is things can happen to you just as they might happen if you're traveling in an unfamiliar city in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were in a city where you didn't know anybody in the States and you were in an accident, you'd have some idea of how to respond. You know about 911. Everybody speaks your language. You
sure.
kind of know what to expect. It's harder if it happens to you in a foreign country, and that's why we're there to step in and give you the assistance you need to cope.
Mm-hmm. And you also recommend that people should register with the embassies in the countries they're traveling to. But for people who backpack or people who are interested in traveling to various countries on their trip, is there a way to register or pre-register with the embassies prior to departure?
Yes. For everyone who's planning a trip, we encourage registration, and you can do that on our website very quickly and easily. Even if you don't know exactly what your itinerary is going to be, any indication that you give helps us to find you if necessary. It's helpful if you leave some information with the family back home, a copy of your passport, although that's the easiest thing of all for us to pull up out of our own records. Credit card or traveler's check numbers, because we can use that information to get a sense of where you might be traveling,
mm-hmm.
your itinerary as far as you know it, your email address, and then as you travel, check for emails when you can. Just, you know, check in an internet cafe and see if by any chance folks at home or our offices have been sending you messages asking you to, and call home. Especially call home if you happen to be traveling in an area where something happens. There's a big storm, there's some sort of political unrest, there's an explosion. Believe me, your mother is going to think you could have been hurt, and she's going to want to hear from you. She's going to want to know you're okay.
That's right.
If you don't call her, she will call me. So we encourage people to just stay in touch with the folks back home.
And one of the things to emphasize with travel registration is the privacy aspects that a person can go ahead and register as the State Department encourages one to do, but that information is not going to be released to anyone unless you specifically authorize that. That's absolutely right.
That's absolutely right. We don't give the information out to anyone, and we, in fact, don't use the information ourselves unless we have some reason that we need to be looking for you. Otherwise, it's just there in case it's needed. But, you know, suppose you were arrested for something and we know that, and you say to us, listen, I don't want my parents to know about this. I'm going to deal with this, but if my wife calls, if my mom calls, you know, we're not going to give any information out. We would simply say that we are in touch with you and we know you're okay, but mm-hmm. we wouldn't give any more information than that. And then we'd let you know that we'd heard from them, they're concerned. You'd make up your own mind about what information you authorize us to give them.
And, Michelle, real quickly before we head out today, safety and security tips. Now, you recommend, of course, you know, perhaps international travel insurance, but also medevac insurance.
Yeah, it's important for your travel insurance to include medevac insurance because that can cost $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 to medevac somebody out of an area to where there's a reliable hospital. And we've seen cases where the family is back home desperately trying to take out a second mortgage in order to get somebody moved to the care that they need.
Okay. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us again today. We always love having you on our show. Lots of great information. And again, to our listening audience, we do have a link to the State Department's travel page from our website. You are listening to the Traveling On Show on the Traveling On Radio Network. We're your travel enthusiasts, Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by Pauline Frommer.
There's more of the Traveling On Radio Show ahead on TalkZone.com.